Your presence is appreciated this morning, and certainly it gives honor to God. We hope that you visitors will come back and be with us at any opportunity you have. The first 18 years of my life were lived in Middle Tennessee in a farming community. Although I never really wanted for anything that I needed, most of the families there were very poor. Very few people had very much. Farming, living from year to year and almost week to week and day to day. Many of the young people who grew up in that area had an opportunity to go to school and get an education and make something of themselves as it was described by the people there. Some of those young folks came back home with somewhat of an arrogant attitude, bragging about what they had, what they had accomplished, sometimes seemingly almost ashamed of their parents and others who had helped them to accomplish what they had accomplished. And many times I remember as I was growing up, the older ones would say, "Oh, how soon they forget. Oh, how soon they forget." That statement has rung through my thinking for the last few days. How soon we forget. I hope you noticed, as Jeremy read there from Peter's account in his second epistle, after reading what we normally call the Christian graces, Peter said there are some who are blind and short-sighted, and they've really forgotten who they are. Peter might very well have said, "Oh, how soon we forget." And if there's anybody who had the right to say that, not only being inspired here, but even from experience, it was the Apostle Peter. Let your minds travel with me back to the book of Matthew for just a moment. You remember the occasion where Jesus said he would establish his church. You remember the conversation just before that. He asked, "Whom do men say that I am?" And they said, "Well, some say you're Elijah, and some say you're Jeremiah, one of the prophets," and referring to some of those back in Old Testament times. And he said, "But whom say ye that I am?" And it was Peter, as was his usual response, who said, "Oh, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And you remember that Jesus complimented him for saying that and reminded him that really it came from the Father, and based upon that confession said, "I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Just a few verses later, in Matthew 17 at the Mount of Transfiguration, Elijah and Moses appeared with Jesus, and Peter again, as was his nature, said, "Lord, look, it's good for us to be here. Let us build a tabernacle for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah." Now you think about how soon Peter forgot. Recorded just a few verses before, he said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "Upon this rock I will build my church." And now Peter says, "Here's Elijah and here's Moses and here's Christ. Let's make a tabernacle, a tent, sort of a memorial, you might say, to each of these three." And in a sense was placing Moses and Elijah on the level with Christ. No wonder God said on that occasion, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." How soon Peter forgot. Then travel just a few chapters later into the 26th chapter of Matthew, and along in the verses in the 30s, you find Peter saying, "Now, Lord, if everybody else forsakes you, I won't. I will not deny you. I will not forsake you. I will stand by you no matter what comes." And you don't get out of the chapter until Peter denies Christ three times. how soon we forget. Oh, it's easy for us to talk about the Apostle Peter. It's easy for us to see the point when we're talking about him, but let's come home and let's talk about ourselves. The majority of us that are here this morning are married. I think all of us realize that we're facing a very difficult time as far as the home is concerned. Today, not only are those outside of the Lord's church having problems in their families, but far too many in the church are having problems in their families. We begin to ask why, and we begin to list reasons, and the marriage counselors give reasons, and many of them are good, many of them are great, and many of them help to solve the problem. But you know, the more we think about it, the more I'm convinced that the problem may be how soon we forget. Think back to the time that you stood by your bride or by your groom, and you said, and you meant it, "I'll take you for better or worse, for richer or poorer, in good times and bad." And then a little time goes by and some of the bad times come and you don't stick. I know at least in one instance, a friend of mine's wife inherited a lot of money. The good times came and she left him. Oh, how soon we forget. And then we said, "Forsaking all others, I will be faithful to thee as a husband or as a wife." And then we begin to flirt with those with whom we work, leave the wrong impression, and sometimes let that flirting go to the point that we even violate the sanctity of our marriage vows by becoming intimately involved with someone else, sometimes secretly over a period of time. "Forsaking all others, I will be faithful to thee as a husband or a wife." Oh, how soon we forget. And usually in the ceremonies that I perform, and most are like this, we come toward the end of the promises and we say, "As long as we both shall live." Oh, how soon we forget. A little over 42 years ago, Judy and I made our vows to each other. I promised to love her, and she promised to love me as long as we live. There have been things she's done that I don't like. And there have been things I've done that she doesn't like. Someone asked me one time if I'd considered divorce, and I said, "No, murder a few times." I don't have to like everything Judy does, and she doesn't have to like everything that I do, although we ought to do everything we can to please each other. But folks, I promised 42 years ago to love her, and I don't think I have the right to do anything less. I love her more today than I did then, and I'm sure she loves me more today than she did then. I look about and see those who claim to be Christians, who've made those promises, who seem to become somewhat selfish and want their own way. Oh, how soon we forget. Oh, I know, and let me hasten to add that there are some circumstances where you just can't control what the other person does. God realized that might happen and made provisions. But generally speaking, our problem is we forget. We forget what we promised. Oh, how soon we forget. Switching from the physical marriage relationship to the spiritual marriage relationship, think with me for a moment. Again, the majority of us in this audience are already Christians. Most of us came to the front of a building like this and stood before an audience somewhat like this and said, "I believe with all my heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Or as I sometimes do, I will ask the person, do you believe? And for years I've always included this part, do you believe with all your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? And the person answers yes. You either said those words or you said yes to the question that was asked. I believe Jesus Christ, I believe with all my heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And at that time, I'm convinced that perhaps everyone who says that really does believe it. Really does believe with all his heart or her heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Some of us who made that statement and built into that statement said, perhaps without saying the words, I'm ready to commit everything that I have to God and to Christ, have forgotten what we confessed and what we promised in our hearts to God. You know, we talk a lot about attending all the services, being liberal in supporting the work of the church, becoming more involved in reaching out to serve others and to teach the gospel. It's not uncommon to hear the statement, you know, we just cannot get enough people to teach our classes, or we cannot get enough people to be involved in these areas of work. What's the problem? I don't think it's really a problem of forsaking the assemblies or maybe becoming too involved with material things or so involved in other things we don't have time for the Lord. The main problem is we've allowed ourselves to fall out of love with Christ. Oh, how soon we forget. And I challenge those of you who do not make it a practice to attend all the services of the church and who make it a practice to find what you need for all things in life and yet can't find anything for God's work and who don't have the time to get really involved in the work of the Lord, I challenge you to go back and remember the day that you said, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I just don't understand it. I just can't see it. If a person really, really believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and you have to beg that person to worship God and be involved in His work, I just don't get it. Oh, how soon we forget. And then magnifying that idea just a little bit, particularly in the times in which we live, we hear people say when they're sick, oh, if God will just let me get better, I'll serve Him the rest of my life. Or maybe we find ourselves in financial bind. We say, if God will just bless me till I can get on my feet, I'll give to Him like I never have before of my money and my time and my talents. I personally have known situations where both of these statements have been made, particularly when someone is sick. Just let me get well. Or maybe a parent has a child that's seriously ill and says, God, if you'll just let my child live, I'll dedicate my life to You the rest of my life. And then the person gets better, and the child gets better, and a few weeks or a few months later, that person begins to miss the assembly again and not as involved. Oh, how soon we forget. September the 11th of last year, the planes in New York City shook the world. And it wasn't but a few days until people began to say, there are more people going to church, there are more people who need God. And I don't know how we could even estimate how many people said something like this, God, just get us through this, and I'll put you first the rest of my life. Have you noticed even on a national level how things have begun to sort of ease back down where they were? And have you noticed even in your own thinking that you may not be as concerned as you were a few months ago? Oh, how soon we forget. No wonder the Bible has so much to say about remember. Solomon to the young people said, remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Paul to the Ephesian elders in Acts 20 said, remember that I ceased not to warn you for 3 years. And he explained, he was talking about the problems that could come from the outside and the problems that could come from within. He said, remember. And three times in 2 Peter 1, after in verse 9, he talked about people forgetting. In verses 12, 13, and 14, he said, I bring you to remembrance. Remember who you are, what you are, who God is. And after pointing out that the church at Ephesus had sort of left its first love, they had soon forgotten, you see, Revelation 2. He says in verse 5, remember from whence thou art fallen and repent, or I'll move your candlestick out from the place where it is. Oh, how soon they had forgotten and left their first love. Folks, let us not wait until we're in the position of the rich man in the story of the rich man and Lazarus in Luke 16. It was after he died, after the gulf was there where there could be no changing, after he had finally come to himself and was even concerned about his brothers, that Abraham said, son, remember that you had all the good things in life and Lazarus didn't, and now he's at rest and you're in torment. May God help us that we don't wait that long to remember. Oh, how soon we forget. If you've allowed yourself to forget the vows that you made to your husband or wife, go back, and whether or not you renew them in public, renew them in your mind and get busy. And if you have forgotten that statement that you made, I believe with all my heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, remember it and practice it. And if you haven't made that statement and need to make that this morning and become a child of God by being baptized into Him, we'd like to help you. Or if you have forgotten and you need to come to show your remembrance again, we'd like to help you as together we stand and sing.
On the portals he's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me. Come home, come home, ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, oh, sinner, come home. Why should we tarry when Jesus is pleading, pleading for you and for me? Why should we linger and heed not his mercies, mercies for you and for me? Come home, come home. come home. Ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, oh sinner, come home. Oh, for the wonderful love he has promised, promised for you and for me. Though we have sinned, he has mercy and pardon, pardon for you and for me. Come home, come home.